Internet and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
It's the Gamer Show. Welcome, everybody.
Sorry.
It's been a while.
No, I just meant sorry for recording.
So the chat room's just asking, what time did we start? We've started. This is it. This is the peak.
Sorry, guys.
It was supposed to be like a month ago.
Yeah, that's true, actually. We are two weeks late. Wait, so we had a thing. We were supposed to record. Sam went away on holiday and forgot to tell anybody. He told us on the Sunday before we were due to record on the Monday. Then this Monday,
It was on the Thursday.
It was something ridiculous. You told us really, really late, anyway.
You knew, anyway.
Mm. Anyway, no, I didn't. I actually really didn't.
Kirsty did.
So yeah,
just talk to your wife.
Well, we are where we are. So, we were supposed to record on Monday night as well, so this is we haven't done a Saturday afternoon show in a little while. There's something quite relaxed. It's like just having a gentle turd. There's something quite nice about doing a show on a Saturday afternoon. Yeah.
Well, I like the aggressive turd. It doesn't fight back, it's not a
fight. Oh dear, indeed. So we're back, welcome. Not much has happened. Sam and me have pretty much been playing Ark for the last 6 weeks, so we're not really talking about any new games. And most of the stuff that's in the news is stuff...
You were supposed to play Mario Maker.
Yeah, I switched it on, played it for about an hour, and then went back to Ark. I'm sorry.
You did the other thing.
I did the other thing. I played LEGO Dimensions, so we can talk about that. But yeah, we've just been playing Ark, really. So there's that. So pretty much
this arm thing here looks like an aggressive robot reaching for Chiss's cock.
Yeah, I'll see if I can put that in view. Can you see? Oh no, you can't see it in the view. There we go.
So that's more aggressive the other way around, though.
So that is there so that I can watch the iPad while so I can watch stuff on the iPad while I play Ark.
You've got the iPad set to mirror when you're wanking, haven't you?
I just use a selfie
That's
camera.
What all the empty boggles things yeah. were all over the couch.
A lot of
worked it out.
There's a lot of empty boggles. Actually, I should put the camera back on me. There's a lot of empty bug rolls. So I use these for cables. I wrap the cables up and put them in.
Oh.
Stick them like that in a drawer. It's actually really good.
Oh, God, that actually makes some forms of sense.
And then, so then I could just go in and go, yeah, I need a HDMI cable in. There it is.
He runs his yellow cable through it.
So the chat room's asking if we're going to talk about
the wheezing it.
Redneck in the chat room is asking if we're going to talk about the Battlefront beta. We are. Chiz is the only person that's actually played it in this room because
what surprise?
Me and Sam have been playing Ark. So
I could have done it this morning. I made a Spino saddle instead.
Yeah,
so
we did talk about downloading it and doing a let's play, so we might do that at some point. But for the moment, it's only Chiz's play.
Probably set that off now, by the way.
No, that's true. But we'll try to stream. Anyway, here we are. Oh, I forgot to find a pen, and you guys are going to swear. And I need a pen.
I already have, but you missed it. You got to listen back to this.
Really?
I missed it as well. Yeah. It's because you're so quiet, because you're refusing to sit forward like a angry toddler. Yeah. So
good radio here.
I'll get a swearback.
I'll massage it for you while you lean forward. Yes.
This is our padding. Well,
just come and sit on my lap.
What's he got hanging out his ass?
I don't know. I always knew Paul was an android.
Right, got post-it and a pen. It's not exactly the most masculine of pens, but it's a pen.
Does it work?
Yeah, it works. We're fine. Ready to go? Right, we're good to go. We have actually already been streaming for a little while. Redneck in the chat room says it's freaking awesome, Chiz, so that's your review later.
Okay.
Battlefront beta is freaking awesome.
Can we just
awesome.
Use that as the
that's
review?
That's all we're going to talk about.
Right, it's freaking awesome.
I've got a big hole in my chest, look.
What?
Look, there's a big hole in my chest.
Oh, yeah, there is.
It's because it's green. There's biscuits on me, too. Anyway.
More biscuits.
So the first thing that I wanted to talk about, this is one that I wanted to talk about. So about a month ago now, September the 9th, Apple did their keynote that announced the iPhone 6S and a variety of other things, the iPad Pro and the iPad Pen, excuse me, the Apple Pencil and all that kind of stuff. One thing that they did announce, which everybody was expecting, was the Apple TV. And they brought some stuff to it that I was a little interested in. I put a note in the show notes that said, could Apple TV succeed as a console? And one of you guys just put in brackets, no, after it. And I'm assuming you've got a little bit more to add to that conversation. I'm assuming it was Chiz. But I'm just going to play the... there was a little demo that was done, and we could talk over the top of this. This is some random dude announcing Beat Sports. And what it basically is the new controller for the Apple TV works very much like a Wii controller. It kind of detects it flying about the room and all that kind of crap. It's got buttons on it in the same way as you would expect any kind of TV controller. You've got play, pause, and so on and so forth. And you've got a little touch area at the top as well. It's going to be out late October, so in a couple of months. So here we go. They're just kind of demoing some of the stuff here. Now, the cool thing about this is, I think what they're really aiming for
that's
is the same
robot.
Market. That is a robot.
That is this robot that is reaching for Chiz's cock and balls.
So
that's Apple's main goal, is to create a cock-grabbing robot. It's going to reanimate Steve Jobs.
Totally true.
It's Jammy Dodgers tonight. As well, we should actually mention that.
It's not just. I went wild.
You got fig rolls, party rings, Jammy Dodgers. Anyway,
Chiz has like kept the party rings.
No, he's hidden the party rings away over there.
You put them on me, and
I think I offered you some, and then you just took the whole packet.
The party rings.
You laid them on my crotch.
And Paul won.
Yeah, can you pass the party rings this way?
Thank you. I'm gonna just take a couple.
Anyway. Back to Apple TV. So you'll notice here that this guy is swinging the controller in time with the lady who's using the bat there. And the idea is that you're actually swinging the controller in time with the music. So it's kind of a Rock Band-y type, Wii Sports type crossover. It looks kind of interesting. I don't expect that this is going to have any challenge on Xbox or Sony, but it is interesting as a sort of casual gaming device. What do you guys think?
But there's loads of these sort of TV, mobile, playing sort of devices out already. Like basically the Amazon it's Fire TV basically plays these sort of games, like maybe not with emotion, but that's what
it does. They're crapper though. I have an Amazon Fire TV, and they're, I don't know whether it's that the dev effort isn't going into it or the machine doesn't have the power to deal with it, but yeah. There's not very many good games in the Amazon Fire TV.
Yeah, but these sort of set-top boxes just basically play mobile games generally.
They're a little bit more meatier than mobile games, but
yeah. The graphics power is the same sort of thing you'd get maybe on an iPad or your Samsung S5 sort of games, and that doesn't terribly
mean
the slightest.
I appreciate that it's not going to have any interest to you. I get that.
Beyond us.
Yeah, I'm thinking about like...
As a family thing, yeah, maybe. Like at the same time, yeah, the Wii sold very, very well. But it didn't actually, like, I think, but it did after the initial, its first couple of years. I don't know if after the Wii, everyone kind of got bored of it now. I don't know if this is going to grab them in the same way. I think a lot of people are going to think it's just basically the Wii again.
But if it's built in.
Yeah, it's along with a bunch of other things.
If it's built in already, I can see kids using it.
Yeah.
Paul, the advert's gone on to something else.
Oh, that's weird.
A thing called Apple Watch sucks.
I don't want to show that. No, we'll go back to us.
No.
There we go. I think you're right, Sam. I think as long as it comes along with other things and everybody understands the Apple brand, it works, you know, it generally kind of works. And if you're already in a household that's kind of going, I fancy some sort of casual gaming device.
I couldn't give it.
Yeah.
Damn. Either way.
Yeah, but
I think it's the kind of games though that like.
So people are going to buy this for the actual Apple TV thing, but they're not going to buy it for its games playing ability.
They might do, but I would expect that the hook will be the fact that it's the Apple TV part of it. And this is like, oh, that's a cool extra thing. We were considering, you know, is there a scenario where you might be going, I was thinking about a Wii U, maybe not a Wii U, but hypothetically. I was thinking about a Wii U, I was thinking about some sort of set-top box. Oh, the Apple TV does both. Job done.
It's a nice extra, but it's not going to change the gaming industry at all.
No,
really make a dent. I don't think.
No, I don't think it'll make a dent. It might do something to the casual gaming industry, but yes, you're. I don't think it's going to It's not going to make a dent in the universe, as it were. It comes out, as I said, late October. There's a 32 gigabyte version, which will cost about $149, which if you convert that directly is about 96 quid. But Apple usually just change the dollar for the pound, so I think you can expect that to be £149.
Yeah.
While the 64 gigabyte version will come in at $199, which is supposedly £129, but it will likely be £199. So that was the Apple TV. We've got that out of the way. So now we're on to the Chiz show. So Chiz is now going to review half a dozen demos and betas that he's played recently.
Go.
So we're going to start off with... So Metal Gear Solid, you mentioned this in the last show, Chiz, you were playing this, but Metal Gear Solid 5 Online came out in the sort of the last month. When did it come out exactly?
Sorry, can I interrupt for 1 second? Something just popped into my head. Did you buy me Hatterful Boyfriend?
Yeah.
Right.
I think it was on sale for like a pound. I went, oh, there we go.
Right, there we go. Carry on.
You have to play that at some point.
Was that not like a Gamer Show bargain basement game that you bought him a while
ago? No, we spoke about it because I can't remember. But
Daniel Dwyer played it.
Yeah, that was it.
Thing. It was just a mental
game. It's really odd. It's a pigeon-y-people-y thing.
It is. You're basically pigeons dating, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, does it know that you're a person dating pigeons? Is that not why it's really weird?
But the pigeons are also people.
They are both people and pigeons.
It's kind of weird. Metal Gear Solid Online.
Sam will give us a full review when he's played it from beginning to end.
So, Chiz, you put in... So I put in Metal Gear Solid Online. There's been some issues with it since it came alive.
I think the thing I put up was basically... The microtransactions they've now adding to this game is frankly getting like...
The FOB insurance is ridiculous.
Oh, that is just...
Sam, have you read about this?
No.
So basically, FOB insurance is effectively insurance you can buy for £8. You get your first one free. It's £8. And basically what it does is, if somebody infiltrates your base and kills folk and takes stuff and all that kind of stuff, takes your staff, takes your equipment and all that kind of stuff, this insurance covers you to not actually lose any of that stuff. Now, the person that came in and took it still gets it, but yours gets replaced.
And that's like real money. You can pay for that insurance.
Is it £8 forever? Or is
£8 every time. First one's free.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought it was every time. I might be wrong about that. I should check that.
I didn't even check the cost, because I thought the whole idea of it was just...
No, what I've written down in my notes here...
Where the army's going, which is just...
I mean, that's ridiculous, but I could see someone getting that for, like, their freakishly weird teenage boy who would throw a massive hissy fit and destroy his bedroom. Mm-hmm. Like, right, fine, for £8, shut up, you little turd.
To kind of explain to anyone who doesn't know, but basically, in Metal Gear, there's Mother Base, which is off in Singapore, which is protected, no one can infiltrate that. But later in the game, you unlock an FOB, which is basically a second mother base. But this is the online one, which you can build up the same way you can as your single player one, which adds to your resources and your men and whatever. But people can obviously break into that and steal stuff, and then you can break into theirs and whatever. So your main one is actually protected. Everything on that is fine. But anything that's on your online FOB can be raided.
Yep. Yeah, and so this £8 kind of basically covers you from that.
Yeah.
Some things that are not recovered, apparently, are items not fully in your property. I'm not really sure what that means, having not played the game. I'm assuming there's some things you can,
I don't know,
steal and leave outside your base, maybe, so it's in the wilderness.
Or something, whatever, because you can steal people's nukes and then dismantle them to get an achievement, or you can build one yourself. There's a few bits of it I'm still kind of hazy on myself. I think I've been... infiltrated twice, but not really bothered retaliating.
But you enjoyed it, so you let it happen.
Yeah.
I'm just going to come around, because Chiz, you're very quiet, and I've just had an idea as to how I can adjust your microphone so that you might be a little bit closer.
Because it's creepy.
Do you know how I think we should do it?
His hand smells.
Just by moving the sofa forward.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Just stand up.
Right, we're just going to move our seat forward. I'm not going to edit this bit out. I think this is good. Oh, I just broke my chair. There we go. Right, hopefully...
For a little while now. It took quite some planning, but I got there in the end.
Chiz, hopefully...
Oh, look, he's got like a horrible segue thing.
It's a Walker Gear.
It's like an evil segue.
Actually, maybe your microphone's broken, Chiz, because I can't... Oh, no, I've not got my headphones plugged back in again yet. That's why I can't...
Oh, my God!
But yeah.
Like the most technically inept show possible.
That's what I mean. It's like a Saturday afternoon show. It's just like a casual turd.
Yeah. One other thing.
Really is.
Does anyone remember you remember about it was Elder Scrolls Oblivion and they got a lot of flack for their horse armor DLC? Do you remember that at all?
Vaguely, yes, yeah.
Metal Gear has horse armor DLC you can buy in it as well. Like, and they've not quite picked up on
the remind me, what was the horse armor? What was the whole controversy over the horse armor thing?
It was just horse armor, which did nothing and made your horse suit different.
Oh,
and you just kind of bought it, and it was just a stupid...
It's a skin, basically, what it is.
A paid for skin, and...
Minecraft's currently and making quite an industry on that as well.
It's Metal Gear's introduced the same thing, and it's, there's a lot of microtransaction nonsense, which I think... Konami are doing their utmost to make this great game worse, because apparently there was a whole like third chapter in the game which they kind of were halfway through making, and then but the game really should have been delayed so they could actually finish it, but Konami were actually wanted the game out, so they cancelled like basically the end of the game, rushed the ending of the game and threw it out. So the ending of the game of the Singapore is a little bit disappointing, to be honest, but the game is good, but Konami are doing their utmost to actually screw it up.
Yeah, I mean,
microtransaction and
that is also to lag issues and also to other stuff with the MGS Online.
Online, like at the same time, it might be down to my crappy broadband at the moment. But
I know reports that seem to be supporting everything that you've said to me. So
and it's quite laggy, and it's also there's no dedicated servers, so it's peer to peer. So it's somebody who's hosting it.
Relying on their connection.
They have the power to kick anyone at any time.
So if they're losing,
and if they disconnect, there's no host migration, so the game just ends and you lose all progress you had. So if somebody quits at the very end, you lose all your progress. There's no host migration. It doesn't change host. It just ends.
Wow.
And it's just oh, I've lost connection because obviously the host quit. So like this is something that's been in host migrations have been in since the 360 days. Like that's when they introduced it. It should be in every game these days. So there's definitely a few problems. There's a few balancing sort of problems as well, because basically everyone just runs about. Using it's infiltrator guy, which is basically invisible for half the match, and if you get a squad of them, you might capture or take down one or two of them, but then there's like three guys queuing up behind you to take you down who you've not seen. but
apparently there's asset glitches as well, similar to the Assassin's Creed thing where there's things just missing, people's faces and things like that. Have you come across that?
I've not noticed that myself. I've not noticed those sort of glitches. I've just had lag where there's been a few times where someone's been running towards me, I've shot them, and it's actually told me I've killed them on screen. They've carried on running towards me, then grabbed me, thrown me to the floor, and then fallen down dead. It's like they're like I've killed them and they're ghost.
Somehow managed.
But I was going to say touch me up, but you go right for the jugular.
I don't think that's appropriate, really, for a live thing there, Paul.
Yeah, especially on a Saturday afternoon, we're definitely before the watershed.
But yet, it's got promise. Like I need to try and get as many... folk I know want to have a private game. I think
are you on Xbox One for that game?
Yeah.
See, I really like the idea of them, but I find the whole stealthy thing too hard. Despite the fact that one of my biggest moans about Hitman was that you didn't have to be stealthy.
Well, you can miss like if you the whole, like in the game like if you use your resources to its research its more powerful weapons, you can just go all and blow everything to hell like. In the single player. In the online player, you can go, there's three classes. There's the scout, which is more of a sniper and marker sort of person. You've got it's infiltrator, which is the stealth character, and then you've got your enforcer, which is like your heavy dude with massive guns and then the weapons and whatnot. So you can just go him and cause havoc. Because I've seen a few, there was one match where there was two guys who were, me and Steve were playing against, who were working together as enforcers, and they pretty much whooped us.
Right, okay.
We were new to the game as well. But.
some of the reports that I've read seem to be the biggest complaint about the game is the potential. And you can see the potential.
Yeah.
And you can totally see how this would be such an awesome game. But the concern is that Konami won't actually support it to resolve the issues that they're currently suffering from.
I hope they do, but no one knows what Konami's playing at the moment, Because like even which I'll talk about PES later as well. There's a few problems with that as well, which it feels like it's Konami's not putting enough effort in. There's a game, and
they know that you're going to pay for it. So
if you want to buy all this content, but we're not really supporting it. Here we go.
That's a bit poor, indeed.
Yeah, but it looks like it's got potential, so...
Yeah, I'm still going to, after the Star Wars beta, I'm going to jump back into it and sink my teeth anymore because I've not dabbled too far into it yet.
Cool.
Although, actually, there's one thing, there's definitely something they might have to look at, because me and Steve quickly realised you can actually level up really easily, it's quickly and easily by doing a 1v1, and, like, I don't know if you get more in points to gain in the games mode, but... you get more points if you capture, like, if you grab someone and interrogate them than actually killing them.
Okay.
Basically me and Steve did was basically hug each other, take turns hugging each other to get more loads of points. Did that for half an hour and we leveled up loads.
And then you stopped and you decided to play Metal Gear.
Yeah. It's like every other game, if you do like a private game, you don't usually get to level up because it stops people from, I don't know the terminology.
Cheating.
From cheesing, basically, it's called, and basically you just kind of like find a glitch and just keep doing it over and over again. But in Metal Gear you can do that.
Oh well, fair enough.
It is quite cool, you can have a private match and level up, but at the same time that opens up a lot of...
It opens up space for kind of abusing it.
Yeah.
Definitely, I would do that. Equally, I don't really play, and there's probably a lot of people like me out there, I don't really like playing public games because, frankly, I get my ass handed to me. So I'd prefer to play private games because I'm still going to get my ass handed to me, but at least it's somebody I can look in the eye, you know?
Someone who has to watch the tears as you running down your face.
Yeah. As you put your pants back on.
Why? Yes, something like that.
Friend.
Far Cry Primal. I want to keep on calling it Primeval. Far Cry Primal. by Ubisoft, we've got a official reveal trailer. I'm just going to pull it up here. It's only a minute and 50. Coming out PlayStation 4 and Xbox One worldwide on the 23rd of February and the PC in March. All signs pointing for this to be the next big release from Ubisoft in the Far Cry series, as opposed to just being another spin-off like, what was that one, Blood? Blood Dragon, that was it. This one is set in 10,000 BC. You take on the role of Takar, or I'm assuming that's how you pronounce his name. And it's as it says on the tin, you are in kind of really early caveman-y type days. There's mammoths and crap like that. There's, for obvious reasons, no modern stuff. You don't have guns or vehicles like in the other Far Cry games. And it looks quite interesting, actually.
Yeah, it's going to be... I wonder how to go, because the whole point in Far Cry 3 and 4 was you had access to all this sort of weaponry and you could skydive and fly about the place. Obviously they'd have to, with that sort of weaponry removed, what other stuff can you make rather than bows and arrows?
Yeah, the question is, like, how realistic are they going to be? Like, are they actually going to be sticking at caveman level, realism with just spears? I mean, for a start, they've got a bow there, which... isn't actually realistic. So that's taken that way. So are they going to have things like hide hang gliders or something like that?
No, and bring that kind of stuff in. Yeah.
It's Far Cry. It's never been too realistic.
It's
always about put stuff in that actually makes it fun.
Yeah.
They'll never say this is how it was back then.
Yeah.
They'll just kind of like, if it's fun, we're going to chuck it in.
Well, no, I was just kind of thinking...
Yeah.
How are they going to stick at basic level technology, or are they going to add in like Flintstones style?
Yeah,
I'm not talking
with a bird.
Yeah,
cool.
But I'm not saying the ridiculous stuff, and not the yabba dabba doo cars or anything like that. But are they going to have?
I would argue that a garbage disposal made out of a dinosaur is more ridiculous than a yabba dabba doo car.
No, because the cars were made out of stone. How fast are you going to go? The food disposal units, I thought were just, not even borderline, just full-on cruelty.
they would have been able to eat. I mean, it's not as if they had any tin cans or anything
like that. But it could talk! It was sentient! It was intelligent, and they were feeding it rotting food.
And we all know when Barney was drunk, it wasn't just food down its throat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very good. So, we were discussing before the show...
Oh, Fred.
sorry, I'm writing down a show title here. Okay, we were talking about before the show, where is this resurgence in sort of caveman-y, dinosaur-y type games come from. And also this whole kind of theme. Is it all around the Jurassic World thing, or is that possibly. Is that one of the things that... Is it something else, and that's
well,
just another
I think that,
feature of it?
I think that may be kicked off first, and then a whole load of people... But, I mean, saying that, these games will have been in development for...
Oh, yeah.
Really, quite a long time, probably longer than the film, I would hope.
But not yet, it's all these games are probably in development. Like, Ark will be in development for it was Jurassic World.
I mean, it still is in development, it's still only in beta anyway.
But there's a few that are kind of going back to this that idea of game and whatnot. And like, because there's the PS4 exclusive, it was Horizon 1 as well, which is a bit more interesting. That's not really in the past. That's more in the future, where the human race is kind of like regenerated. Well, not regenerated, like recessed back to caveman-esque. Well, the machines are the dinosaurs in it, which is interesting. And yeah, and there's this, which I don't know. I wonder how long this has been in development, and this has been inspired by Ark and Horizon. I would be surprised if it was Horizon, because Horizon's quite a recent announcement.
There does definitely just seem to be a theme.
Yeah.
Throughout, not really just games and not films, it's just media full stop.
It was zombies, now it's dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And before that, it was vampires as well. Yeah. So, just another theme. It looks quite cool. I am not a massive Far Cry fan, but I might actually pick this one up. This looks quite interesting, actually. It looks like something I would quite enjoy playing.
I've enjoyed the last two, so I'll keep an eye on this one. Hopefully it'll be good.
Yep. Rainbow Six Siege Beta has also been out. So, Chiz, again, you were the only person that's played this one. I'm just going to... Actually, sorry, I'll get scripted.
Thanks to Ed Marshall for the code for that, by the way.
Yes. Thank you, Ed. I'll just try and find the video here.
Sam's complimentary hand job is on its way to you.
If you come up for the bash, Sam will do it in person, administer it in person.
On air, yeah.
So, Rainbow Six Siege Beta.
You'll answer questions with a full mouth.
Well,
oh dear.
It won't affect particularly my effectiveness within the quiz anyway.
We're going to have to find some way of balancing that a little bit more this year. I don't know whether we're trying
to... Chiz has to gobble someone while answering.
We've talked about Rainbow Six Siege a few times in the show.
Redfield!
Instead of a noise, instead of a buzzer, he just makes a gagging noise.
Anyway, I'm bringing this back up to a level.
You're on our level. We're on our level. It's not good level, but we're on our level, Paul.
Actually, I don't have a buzzer. I have to wank off a dog. I'm not allowed to answer until successfully do so.
Okay.
Sorry, that's my private life.
Rainbow Six.
I just noticed that house is really shoddily constructed. All the doors have enough room for this remote control bomb thing to just run straight under.
Yeah. So this has been out for a little while. I think the beta got extended to October 5th, didn't it? It's now closed.
It's closed now.
The idea was that if you bought the game, or you pre-ordered the game rather, you got access to the beta as well, which was always kind of seen as a bit odd. Now, apparently you could join a waiting list of some kind that allowed you into it, but as we said, Ed Marshall very kindly gave Chiz access to it.
It's not a new thing to do. Like, it's quite often like they'll do...
I've always find it odd though. I'm not saying it's a new thing. I find it odd.
It's always better to actually... Although, to be honest, I think an open beta probably would have destroyed the servers even more than what they were, because quite often the game servers were crap. But the games we did get to play, it was all right. I was really disappointed in the graphics. It was something like, especially the textures. It looked like a 360 game at times.
Right.
But the amount of sort of chaos you could put in the game was really cool. For example, there'd be some walls you could basically blow a whole wall in and walk through, or a floor you could blow through. But even the areas where you couldn't maybe totally annihilate, you could still blow a hole in them to shoot through. So if somebody was, you knew if someone was below you, you could plant a bomb on the floor, blow it. It would either create a hole to actually get through, or at least see through and drop more grenades in and actually shoot the person and whatnot. And it was a cool, like it,
it basically left up to you how you tackle the situation, although you very much need mates on it to actually work together properly, because the games I played my own, no one had mics on, so we were all just running about doing our own thing, or they were in a patch up working together and they weren't, so I was just kind of like going,
you're being excluded.
I'll follow you guys, what's happening?
It looks really cool.
Yeah, it was fun when it worked, but at the same time, if that's all the game is, I wouldn't say, like, there's not... What is, it's like basically an online only game. You can do offline Singapore and take down like AI inside the house. It's like maybe like for example, if the AI is inside the house, you and its four mates can steam this house and take down, I think it's usually about, it's 22 AI characters in there.
Right.
But one thing I noticed when I played on my own, the AI was all right. It would actually try and attack you or try and flank you and whatnot. But online, the AI was really, really stupid. It would turn its back to you or run the opposite direction or just shoot walls or just be really stupid. It was like, as soon as it went online, the AI fell apart. Or the servers just couldn't handle it. And it also, when you're playing against the AI, that mode, it drops to 30 frames per second. But the 5v5, its multiplayer is 60 frames per second. So it obviously can't handle too many characters being in the game.
Mm. Right, okay.
It's not a major thing. Like, obviously, it's good that the proper 5v5 is 60 frames per second. So, but it's slightly disappointing that the other game mode is 30, but hey-ho. It doesn't bother me too much. But
It's a cool idea. I really like the idea. I mean, we looked at, was it E3 last year when it originally got an SOD before that? Yeah. And it looks really cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to learn in the game, so it probably take you well to get the hang of it, but you do need folk to work with.
Yeah.
I think
that's it. I think that's the only way I would enjoy this game, is if it was 10 of us that we knew, and it was actually, but I think that could be really good fun.
How often does that happen?
Yeah, I know.
But actually, like, if it, for example, I was saying to Steve, like, this would be an awesome game, like, if we ever did the Bash again, having, like, I don't think we can do split screen, we'd need 10 projectors and TVs and 10 consoles, but if we had all that, it'd be absolutely awesome in that sort of LAN environment. It'd be a really great, fun game. But the amount of times that would happen, well, probably never for us.
Hmm. It'd be very hard to organise the logistics of that.
I'm tempted by it, but I wouldn't pay the £40 for it. I think it's, for the sort of content it's in, it's more of a £20-30 game, I would say.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
But it'll not be. It will be £40-45 plus.
Yeah. I think if you're interested in it,
so it comes out
fun and go by, but I think I might wait for it to drop in price before I end up picking it up. And
I've to admit, I don't think I've ever bought a Tom Clancy game straight away. I've always bought it as a second hand type thing.
Never really enjoyed the Tom Clancy games.
No, I can't remember which one it was. I think it was one of the early Rainbow Six ones, but
there's Splinter Cell and
Splinter Cell is good.
Yeah, I did enjoy them. But there's been a few crap ones as well.
Actually, the last Splinter Cell was one that I bought that on day of release. Actually, so I lied about my. It was the Rainbow Six games I was referring to. Rainbow Six Siege releases on December the 1st, 2015 for Xbox One, PlayStation 4 and PC. Now, finally, in this first section here, we're going to talk about another game that Chiz has played and me and Sam have not yet, which is Star Wars Battlefront Beta.
Hmm? Why are you guys here?
Well, because we're going to talk about Ark again. It's going to become our turn soon.
Anything new to talk about Ark?
We did, but there's been an update.
Okay.
There's been a lot of updates.
So here we go. So we've seen these demos before. Hang on, I'm on you guys. Sorry, I just realized I should change camera angle. So the Battlefront beta came out on Thursday, and it came out on PC, PlayStation, and Xbox, I believe. Massive downloads, like 7 gigs or something like that. So it can actually take a little while.
Luke Skywalker getting teabagged.
Well, you would. He kills him for.
He's getting teabagged by his own rebel friend.
and his friend got killed for mocking Darth Vader's son.
There's three modes: survival, which seems to be some sort of tutorial type level; drop zone, which is kind of a small defend an area place; and then the bit that everybody's probably the most interested in is large scale battles, which I think we're viewing here.
Yeah.
Apparently, one of the biggest of everything that I read like half a dozen articles about this, and every one of them was saying that the best thing about this is it feels like Star Wars and it is gorgeous, and that's pretty much the biggest feedback from this game. So I mean, you can't really complain much more about that. I mean, Chiz, you played it, what's your thoughts on it?
It's as an online competitive shooter goes, it's probably one of the more basic ones, but it's a very easy sort of pick up and play, as in it's open to a lot more people than say what Battlefield and Call of Duty would be, which you can get horribly punished playing those games pretty quickly by folk who are really, really good at the game. I think for this, even though you will still probably get your ass whooped by folk who are better at the game, but there's that many things going on that you can still help in some sort of way. You could is take control of one of the vehicles. For example, I think I had one game where I got nearly 40 kills and died. It was twice just because I kept taking control of the Atwalkers, the massive, for the what's happening, what they're doing here, like in the distance, we can take control of them, and basically you can't really be sort of hurt in there, and like
until the shields go down.
Yeah, but you can only take control for a short amount of time, and then you get booted out of it. But then if you find the token again, you can jump back in.
Yeah,
and you can just rain hell on everyone who's kind of going about.
So I was going to ask about the tokens, but the other thing I'd heard before you talk about the tokens is that a lot of people were saying that in the battle it was really, really difficult. It was all kind of loaded towards the Empire rather than the Rebels.
Yeah.
However, I then heard that all you need to do is wear down the shields on the AT-AT, and if you get the orbital strike card, just hold that back and dump an orbital strike on it once you've taken the shields out, and it basically kills it flat. Right.
Cool.
But how do the card things work? Is what I wanted to know.
So there's power ups. If you think of Mario Kart, basically, they're usually like I was gonna say they're kind of random, but I end up kind of they're not quite so random, because you do find certain cards in certain areas. For example, at the very start, behind when he's if you're on the Empire side, there's usually a sort of token just behind them, or an AT-ST one. Or I've controlled Darth Vader once, but it was the very end of the match and ended before I could even find anyone to kill, which was annoying. It's Steve got control Luke Skywalker, I think, and Andy's controlled as Darth Vader, and he killed Luke Skywalker, so he did pretty well with that. I think they're a bit more random, so they're just kind of laid out in the map, and they appear in your HUD if you need your bag, so you can kind of go and run and get them. And it's the same for flying the ships and whatever. I've only been in one game so far where the Rebels have beaten the Empire on this map. It's
right.
I didn't know about that trick that Sam just said, but usually you need to take the shields down by basically there's two points that you have to control, and once you control both of them, that calls in its Y bombers, which take out the Imperial Walker's shields, and then if you've got any heavy weaponry, or basically at that point you need anyone who's piloting something to rain as much fire on that as possible, because if you don't, small gunfire just doesn't do enough damage at all. It does nothing. You basically need whoever's flying about to do their jobs, and if you don't have pilots who are doing their jobs, then you're kind of screwed. And I've always seen once, because I think we had one guy in our team at the end, I think, but he knew how to fly the it's a snow speeder, you know, the one that actually wraps up. That you can, that when it gets near the end of the level, those tokens appear then, so you can fly them and tie up the legs, and it takes them down as well.
Cool.
So obviously the Empire have to defend against them near the end of the level, but yeah, it's fun. As like just a good tip I would say is play it in third person, unless you're maybe inside the building and change to first person, because what you can do in third person, which you can't do in first, is hide behind something while seeing over the top of it.
So
you can scout the area out without having yourself out there to be shot.
Mm-hmm.
In first person you can't do that, obviously, so I'd learn to play it in third person, because there's an advantage of doing that.
Cool.
And the other two, it was Drop Zone, was it called?
Yeah, Drop Zone and Survival.
It's Drop Zone, it's basically a smaller map where it's, I don't know how many players, I think it was 6v6 or something, and these escape pods would land, and you have to go up to them and capture them and hold them. And if you hold them for a certain amount of time, that puts your score up one. Like here, for example, you have to go
That's
and capture.
That's not on screen anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you want me? I can put that back on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, for example, here, the red icon there means that the rebels, at least this guy's pointing at, have captured that drop point. So he has to go and try and kill the one and try and capture it back and hold it to score a point. So at the top, it says it's 2-1 to the Empire at the moment. And I can't remember what it's 2, but I think with a shot last night, we managed to come back and win it 3-2 after being, oh no, it was 4-3 after being, it was 2-0 down at one point. So, but yeah, it's all right. It's
cool.
It's just a standard sort of, of
capture the flag type thing.
Not capture the flag. What's it called? A king of the hill sort of thing.
Right.
There's a random area,
yep.
And you have to capture and hold it and whatever. And the other one, yeah, the survival ones are single player or co-op thing where basically you just have to kill wave a wave of Imperial soldiers, which wasn't very interesting, to be honest.
Mm.
But yeah, the Walker Assault one is probably the most fun thing in the beta, but I'm kind of hoping there's more variation to the levels and whatnot, and I want to see what the proper...
They get the balancing sorted out as well, I would imagine, for the walkers too.
I want to see what the proper sort of conquest, like a massive map where, rather than you being like anything like from the films like this, it's just like certain bases you have to control and capture.
Mm.
I want to see what those... How those... I think those will be the actual most fun thing about it.
Yep. Yeah, it looks really cool. I'm going to download it this afternoon, so we should maybe try and get a group game tomorrow night.
Yep.
Maybe go on.
I can't tomorrow night, but...
Oh, okay.
It'll be Monday night next time I'm able to go on.
All right, okay. Yeah, we can maybe do it Monday night. Cool, we'll just plan our social lives while we're on the show. That's good.
I'll be having a poo. No, I'll download it as well.
Yeah, it does look awesome.
Yeah, like,
when is it actually out? I couldn't...
next month.
It's out next month, no.
It's either November or start December. It's round about the actual film.
Because I could only find...
I'm sure it's next month. It's November.
All right, okay, cool. Cool. This podcast and all the others on this fine and glorious network are brought to you by UK2. If you head on over to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and you can see all of our links there, taking you off to UK2, and you can see voucher codes there and things like that for you to put in and get money off VPS, VPN, domain names, all that kind of good stuff there. And you can do whatever you need to do there and get whatever you need to do to make yourself a website of some description. And hopefully an awesome one, but you know, I'll leave it up to you and your design skills. The other people I just want to thank is the fantastic people over at 100TB. If you are watching live, which because we're randomly doing this at 5 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, there are very few people in the chat room. But hello to not Nuz, excuse me, I'm going to pronounce your name, not Nuznair V. Five maybe, and GB Redneck. GB Redneck, as we said at the beginning of the show, was a big fan of Battlefront Beta, so he was quite looking forward to us talking about that. If you are listening live on the stream or anything like that, that's all thanks to 100TB. They control and provide that pipe for us to come out to your ears in a matter of seconds from when we originally broadcast it here at BTN North and also BTN Prime, as it's now called.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, so.
Well, because Ewan moved out of BTN South, and he actually has his own office now and his own studio, which is called BTN Prime.
Why isn't it just South still?
Because South closed. You've got to move with the times, Sam. Jesus.
you asshole.
So thank you very much to 100TB for doing that. And the other thing I just want to mention is Patreon. If you want to support this show or any other shows in the network, please head on over to patreon.com and search for British Tech Network, or alternatively, britishtechnetwork.com/patreon. And you can give us anything from a dollar, which is approximately 60 pence, a month, up to whatever you feel like. Give us every penny that you earn in a month, if you so wish. It would be insane, but if you want to do that, please do.
It wouldn't.
If you do that, Paul will wear nothing but a different bra every podcast.
I would happily do that for like a tenner extra a month. I mean, really, it's only the top half of my body that's shown anyway. And I do generally wear a different bra every month. It's just under a t-shirt. So if you wanted to do that, then head on over there and give us your hard-earned pounds and pennies, ladies and gentlemen, because we really appreciate everything that come in. And just so you know, we don't drink all of it. In fact, we don't drink any of it. It all goes towards making the shows better, making the tech so that these shows can be better. So, for example, if it wasn't for your Patreon donations, we wouldn't have moved that chair a foot forward so that the microphone worked better.
I wouldn't have had the education to come up with that idea. Thank you, Patreon, for putting me through university.
Thank you, Patreon.
I thought it was from all your years working in the bread mine.
So, right. So, Chiz, you have been playing PES Pro Evolution Scrabble.
I wish it was that.
I've hit the mother load. Yeah. I've got some sourdough.
I'm gonna have to find it because the only video I've got is like two guys just talking about. Here we go. So, what's new about Pro Evolution Scrabble 2016?
What's new about it is it tricks you. It's actually about football.
there's not very many people in the stadium there, is there? Oh no, they were just all not really moving. That's
yeah. I've stumped up for PES this year instead of FIFA. Like back in the day, I was called ISS. I was a fan of that, and then it became PES.
Which one is it that has women in it now?
FIFA.
Is that why you went to PES, you sexist prick?
That helps. No.
You disgust me.
But I played the demo list. I was quite impressed with it, and the reviews have been praising it. So I kind of thought it's maybe time to jump back in this and actually give it a shot. And what I also liked about it was PES doesn't have the same sort of licensing as FIFA, so a lot of times in the past you couldn't play as the teams that you wanted to play as, apart from one or two which they got the licenses for. But although they do have the licenses for the Champions League and Europa League, which FIFA don't have, but that's about it.
Right.
And a few teams. But the good thing about this PES is it's got a full-on editor mode, and basically there's some talented people have actually made all the strips from like a template thing that that the PES guys made, and basically you put this on a USB drive, put in your PS3, and you add the strips, and the strips look basically like the real thing. So you can edit all the strips just by pasting things you find online. You can change the names of the tournaments, put the club logos up, the managers' names, you can basically edit everything in the game, which is really
cool. So a kind of do-it-yourself job.
Yeah.
To pretend that it's other stuff.
Well, yeah, but because they don't have the licenses. But what's also good, say if you're not a person who likes buying a football game every year or feel like the only difference is they just update the strips and then you buy this once and then just update yourself rather than buying the game again.
That's quite fair. Cool.
So it's...
What about like player skill levels and things? So you can bung him in the strip of your foosball team of choice.
Uh-huh.
But... what about your that man who is quite good at football?
But you've dumped him in a...
like a...
Well, could you build yourself... Yeah, what rubbish team do you support? Liverpool or something. So could you build yourself Liverpool and set the player...
make them better, yeah.
Levels, yeah, right.
You can adjust all that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you basically can make your... Or is there like some sort of leveling system whereby you can't just go in and make your team absolutely amazing at every position?
Once again, thank you, Patreon, for my education.
You gave me the ability to spit that out eventually.
I can do it. Like, I could make every single player amazing, but that would make it too easy. You don't want to do that. I'd rather keep them much the way how PES thinks they are. Or should be, and then try and make them better by playing the kids. Obviously, if you play in the Master League level, which is basically the career, they basically get better anyway.
Right, okay.
Over time, if you put the right training in and things like that, which is usually just some sliders or whatever. But yeah, I'm enjoying it because I just kind of feel that certain players and certain tactics, you actually notice a real difference compared to, well, doing FIFA, but in this even more so. Like, for example... If you're playing against a team who are very much a counter-attacking team and they've got a fast player up front, you do have to take that in mind when you're setting your team up to make sure you don't get caught out by that. Or if they're playing a guy who's like nearly 7 foot tall up front and they like to play crosses, you need to do something about that, or they're going to outdo you at the at that area, if you know what I mean. There's been some games where I've maybe been getting beat 1-0 at half time, and I've changed my tactics and managed to pull back and win it because I noticed that I couldn't actually play the ball through the middle of the pitch because they had their midfield packed, or they had really good defensive midfielders, so I'd bypass them by using the wings and changing.
So you've got to really understand football for to like this game.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't just like, you know, like Kickoff 2 back on the Amiga. You could just kind of pick it up and anybody could play it.
It's like you playing, say, like a Madden game where it's your tactics really impact it.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, I get that. But, you know, is there? I used to really enjoy the FIFA games. I think the last FIFA game, if I'm honest, I played was the N64. And that was still back in a day where you could just pick up the controller and you could play a game and you could win it without knowing any of the players, any of the tactics. This guy kicked it harder than that guy who he was allowed to use his hands. And that was my knowledge of the tactics.
Turn this to the lowest sort of setting and be really easy and play it any way you want, but...
Right, okay.
For like me, you chuck everything high and it's more of a challenge, and when you do win the game, it actually like
it feels like you've really worked hard. And, right, okay.
And that's what I want. I don't want to be winning every game 5-0 because that gets dull.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be challenged. And even games I've been beaten, like... it's 4-2 or 3-2, I've still enjoyed because it's been a challenge and I've lost not because the game cheated but because I got my tactics wrong, so you learn from that. And I find it really fun. And that's not to say FIFA doesn't have that, but I played a lot of FIFA over the past few years, but I feel PES is probably closer to the real thing than what FIFA is at the moment.
Right, okay.
Sports go sports. Go sports team.
To celebrate, Sam is now going to show you his sports bra.
Are you?
Or is you wearing your cup today, aren't you?
Big.
Sam, what have you been playing?
It's more of a thimble than a cup.
Egg cup.
What have I been playing, Paul?
Well, we have spent pretty much the last... Well, you've definitely spent more time than I have, but...
I am purposely not looking at the amount of hours that I've poured into our...
So I've unfortunately, because I'm really bad at switching my machine off... I leave Ark at the login menu.
I have no idea when you're online and when you're not, because you're online all of the fucking time.
I leave it, so that actually counts up, so I'm over 400 hours on Ark at the moment.
I tamed up a couple of these boys yesterday, the frogs.
Oh, Sam, we didn't try dancing with them, look. So there's been a couple of updates on the server recently. We have our own server, as we mentioned in the last show, and me.
I take it we've had no one want to join yet.
No, no, we had two people.
Have we?
Two people. Yeah.
Well, let them.
I emailed them back. They haven't come back to me.
All right. Well.
If you're listening, there, two people. I'm not going to name your names or anything like that, but two people that approached that emailed the network.
Are we allowed
please,
to?
Please
know?
Let me know. Are you allowed to what?
To know. I want to vet these people. I want to see if they're going to come in and thuggishly destroy my heart.
You have to give them an admin password again, or do you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, we have to give them the server password. Not the admin one.
It's two different things.
Although I think I made them the same word, thinking about
no,
it.
No, you didn't.
Didn't I? Right, okay.
No.
That's fine. Anyway, so we've been playing on our server. There was an update last weekend or the weekend before last? And basically what happened was they brought in swamp biomes and snow biomes.
Yeah, so they've totally changed the map. So before, the whole thing was basically just a tropical island with forested areas and mountains and stuff. Sorry?
These guys are just...
Yeah, they are just faffing around, Paul. Although I do like Slip Gator. If anyone likes... He's just a really enthusiastic, fun, and actually quite funny guy. He does a lot of Minecraft and some other stuff.
So he's far too loud American YouTuber, is he?
He's not far too loud. He's all right.
There's too many of them.
There are too many of them.
Oh, there's a Sarko. I think they're going to be teaming a Sarko.
Do like Sarkos. But, so instead of just a tropical island now, there are like huge mangrove swamps, which unfortunately kind of buried our... existing base.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time building that base.
In
fact,
snakes.
You know what the most annoying part about that was? So directly outside our base was this lagoon, and it was quite deep.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It was a lovely place. And what
it
I did...
was safe.
I built a bridge across this lagoon, spent days and I like putting pillars down deep into the lagoon so that it held up this bridge that stretched across, and I put a tower in the middle of the bridge so you could watch people coming in and out. They turned the whole place into a swamp, levelled it, so that basically meant that all that work I'd put in putting the pillars in was completely wasted. It was completely pointless because everything got levelled up to just one block basically below the level of the bridge.
It was horrible.
That story makes me happy.
But unfortunately, because it's a swampland, it's infested with a lot of really difficult and
annoying more than difficult, I guess.
Well, the worst things, right, there are giant crocodiles, which are pretty bad, but you can run away from them if you get on land. If they catch you in the water, you're screwed, right? And then there's the frog things, which don't attack you at all unless you attack them. Giant snakes, which can be a bit of a pain in the bum, but they're pretty easy to kill. The worst things are hideous, evil swarms of just insects that just
a scorpion with one hit of his tongue.
Yeah,
yeah. They put the it basically knock them out with the tongue. Oh. The tongue's got poison and stuff in it.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. So it was quite frustrating. So we moved off, built up a new base. Well, actually, I just kind of built this base, but
it was a snake. I've not seen the snakes.
But... the snakes can just crawl straight up cliffs. It's quite frustrating. You can't get.
You
away
also can't
from
tame bucket. The snakes. The snakes are completely untainable.
Mm.
Yeah,
we quite like them because their eggs are useful for stuff. Yeah. So big changes. The other biome is the snow biome, and obviously it's a bit chilly up there. Oh yeah, swamp. Hot all the time.
Oh yeah, doesn't matter whether you're absolutely naked, you're in your pants, on the top of your bird that's flying through the air, it still complains that you're too hot.
And you can die if you're too hot.
Yeah.
So yeah, the other side of it was the snow biome, and that's obviously.
I've not spent a lot of time in the snow biome.
Pretty chilly. Have you been up there at all?
No. I'm not went up to the snow biome. Right. So basically, where our base has been built now is kind of back in what sort of more normal as the server was a few months back. Basically, yeah. Sort of a tropical woods and hills.
Well,
and Bede
and I
and
picked
like
it because it's on top of a plateau, so it's incredibly safe.
Yeah. You can't actually get to it unless you're a bird, and we have enough birds and defences up there. Yeah. But we've actually gotten that advanced now that Sam built a generator the other night, like a proper generator that we could switch on and the lights come on with a fridge and an air conditioner.
There's an air conditioner in the house.
I'm still running about.
It really doesn't seem to do much,
no,
though.
Doesn't. I'm running about with leather, kind of handmade leather chaps. And a stick with a stone sellotaped it, like wrapped onto the end of it, and Sam's driving about in like a Humvee.
there is talk of vehicles and things.
Yeah, coming in the future. Yeah.
Also, I've heard that there's talk of
like turning into Grand Theft Auto Avengers.
Really high end. They're gonna have some because the whole thing is like aliens have basically kidnapped you and dumped you on this island, and it's a test that they're kind of seeing how you survive or something. But there's talk that later on in it there's gonna be. Like alien technology and stuff.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's such a cool game.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is really well done. It's vast.
Absolutely. It's huge.
Absolutely vast.
I think I keep wondering if they're going to kind of expand the island. So rather than
maybe other islands or something.
Well, rather than terraform the areas into new biomes, I wonder if later on they're going to kind of expand.
Well, do you know what? I was sitting as I was having similar issues. So Chiz is also on our server as well, but he hasn't actually managed to access it yet. He's having all sorts of timeout issues. I was having timeout issues the other night, and while I was sitting mulling over how I was going to get it working again, I noticed that on the server login screen, it lists the name of the server, how many people's on it, what the ping rate is, and all that kind of stuff. But something interesting, it says map as one of the options in that server. Now, at the moment, everybody has the exact same map.
Well, there are mods
the
with
island,
different
exactly,
maps.
Which some, well, does it sort of infer that at some point they might make a new map, and you can have your old map, and then you can have a new map that maybe is wider and more vast. Mm. It's an awesome
I
game.
Would like.
Highly recommended.
Yeah, come and join us. It's dirt cheap at the moment as well.
18 quid or something like that for the PC?
I'm sure so. Like 15.
Yeah, it really is very cheap.
It's
very
cheap. It's PC at the moment, but it is coming to Xbox One and PS4 at some point, and there's going to be like a free beta on the Xbox One at some point next year, I think.
Is there going to be a crossover, though?
Nah, I don't doubt it.
Because there's always the advantage of mice and keyboards, the advantage over controllers and stuff.
I think the PC owners will have an advantage just with the power of the PC and having access just to how they can play the game and access to mods and things like that. They would end up. So no, I don't think it'll be three separate.
It's a shame, bit of a shame, but really, really good fun. Highly recommend. You can do some crazy stuff. Yeah. My next challenge, I think, if Paul will help me, is to capture one of the giant flyers.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a couple of wee glitches as well. Just talk about flyers. We currently have one of our sort of pterodactyl-esque flyers stuck in the air, way, way high up. It's not attached to anything. It's just stuck up there.
It doesn't...
All right.
Yeah, that happens now and again. It's not that often, actually.
I tamed it. I tamed it. I tried to fly it back to the base, and it just kept climbing, and it wouldn't come down.
Yeah.
And it still won't come down.
You do get that now and again. So Sam tamed a sort of a dolphin-esque dinosaur, and it ran aground, and there was absolutely no way to get it back.
Oh, yeah, it stuck.
His name was Flipper.
That was pretty frustrating.
Yeah.
I had three flippers, all of which got stuck.
Mm.
But like anything that goes wrong, you're just blaming Beed, yeah?
Obviously.
Generally. You
know. Such an asshole, Beed. Why'd you...
You did a swear.
He's not had many, right? So.
No, he hasn't. We've been pretty well behaved, really, haven't we?
So, the other game that I have actually very briefly, I have to admit, been playing is LEGO Dimensions. So I will just pop that on. So LEGO Dimensions, we've talked about this in the show before. Basically what this is your standard, really standard LEGO games mixed with sort of Skylanders type in Disney Infinity and games, where you get a sort of a pad that you plug into your Xbox, PlayStation, Wii U via USB, and then you have your little LEGO characters onto it. So we started playing it today, and this is the trailer, obviously, that's playing. We've played this in the show before, but...
There's no proper gameplay things anymore?
There is gameplay, but I didn't want to... It is a brand new game. I didn't want to kind of do too much, because I didn't know spoilers or
is
anything.
Is that just
like
spoilers
that.
In it,
sir? I don't know. Okay, tell it. Give me a second. I'll see if I can find something. Chiz and Sam, could you just dance for a wee minute? There's Elm. Walk through.
So is this basically, Scam, it's basically one of these games whose sole object is to
sell you more level packs.
Yeah,
basically
empty parents' pockets as fast as possible.
Yeah. I mean, this game isn't cheap. The actual starter pack, which you need, which does include four characters, usable things. One's a car and three characters. It's £80, and then a level pack's like £20 after that. Something crazy like that. So, the way that this game starts is you start with
everything's on the disc, isn't it? Uh-huh. So basically, but to access it, you have to have the toy to scan.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing and I haven't quite managed to get too deep into this, but when I made the Batmobile and then popped it onto the top of it, it then says, do you want to save this model with this token? Because basically, the disc that they sit on is the bit with the NFC chip in it. The character on top is just attached LEGO model. It's nothing. And you say yes, which sort of suggests that there's a chance that you might be able to interchange, use this disc and then save different characters on it, which would actually be quite good. Mm. If you could do something like that, then that means you might have to kind of say, right, I'm now going to make, I don't know, so Gandalf's in it, so I want to make Samwise. And so I can pop Sam on it and then say, this is now Sam on this disc. And then I can then save Sam's information on this disc. Something like, I don't mean Sam you, I mean Samwise.
I understood that. Because they patron put me through university. So.
So if they could do something like that, it might be quite interesting. But so the way that the game starts is basically it's quite cool, which they're actually showing you the intro video here. It's quite cool.
You've clicked on again.
Sorry?
It's a walkthrough video you're on again.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to play too far. This is basically the opening sequence. You don't. As soon as you switch the game on, you get this. But basically what happens is the three characters, which are Wildstyle from the LEGO Movie, Batman of Batman and Robin, and Gandalf of Lord of the Rings, all kind of joined together to go and save...
Bill Arnett voicing Batman again?
Bill Arnett's voicing Batman, and I've forgotten the girl's name who voiced Thingy Briggs.
Elizabeth Banks.
Elizabeth Banks, isn't it? Yeah, sorry. So I think the two of them are doing that. It's somebody doing a cracking job of Gandalf, but it's clearly not Ian McKellen. No.
Was Gandalf in the movie? Or am I thinking of Morgan Freeman?
Morgan Freeman played the big beardy character.
God or something
Morgan Freeman. Elizabeth Banks, it sounds like Elizabeth Banks or somebody doing a cracking job with her voice. And they very briefly show Emmett, but I don't know whether that's Chris Pratt. He has like one line, and so it's quite difficult to tell. Yeah, so it's very, very good. Basically three characters kind of join together. It's a classic LEGO game, gameplay, storyline, all that kind of stuff. It's got a little bit of humour in it. It's quite entertaining. The mechanics and everything like that are very similar. The bit I was really disappointed with, me and Sam were talking about this before the show, was the actual base that you put your little characters on, your little NFC characters on. You actually have to build that out of Lego. But you, all that happens is, as part of the game, you actually are encouraged to build this panel. But all that happens is, basically, they bring up effectively the PDF of the instructions on the screen, and you page through it by pushing the shoulder buttons on the controller to page through the instructions. And what we were discussing before was, it'd be nice if it was done in some sort of gamification, and Sam came up with the idea, which I think is a very valid one, that you actually had to go and search out the instructions for how to build it.
Patreon things changed your life, Sam.
It was actually, I thought it was a really good idea. And you go away and do like little mini quests to build up the instructions to then be able to build it. But basically what happens is you come in, you do this kind of sequence called the Master Builder mode, which is where you take the character and you tap it on the three areas of the NFC pad, and then the PDF came up and you just paged through it and built the thing. It was fine. It was kind of crowbarred, and it could have been brought into the story in a more fluid way, or a more entwined way, and as part of the story, because really there was no benefit to me building it.
A bit of effort,
yeah, there was no benefit to me building it at all. And really, the whole idea of having the panel in front of you there, it's quite cool how the characters come in and out, and it stands to reason. You take one of the characters off, and the person has this little sort of catchphrase that they say, you know, like Gandalf shouts, "Flat, you fool," sometimes when you take him off the NFC pad because he just disappears into the ground. Batman has some catchphrases and stuff like that. So it's quite cool, and it actually reacts quite nicely when you do that kind of thing. And the gamepad comes into it as well. There's a point where the very first level after you've built the gamepad, you go to this sort of Wizard of Oz style place, and the Wicked Witch of the West is attacking you, and you sort of get there's three zones on the gamepad thing, and you're told which zone they're about to attack, and you have to move all the characters physically off of that area of the gamepad before the attack happens, and then you put them all back where they should be, and then you attack her back in the game. So I mean, it's got those kind of elements to it, which is quite interesting. But yeah, so it's interesting. I don't think it's worth the money by any stretch of the imagination. It's far too expensive for what it effectively is, but it is quite cool. I think it could have worked a little bit harder on it, though. That's all I would say. That's basically us, gentlemen. Have you got anything else? It's now 6:30 on a Saturday night, and yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. Really, you got anything else, Dad? Who's done?
We're basically done, aren't we?
We're done. If you want to get a hold of us, please email BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com. You want to follow the network on Twitter? It's @BritishTech. Yes, it's @BritishTech. I just did a brain fart there. I thought it was something else. @BritishTech on Twitter. Follow me, I'm at Paul Wheatley. We will be announcing the Bash hopefully sometime this week. What day it'll be some Saturday in December, so you're always welcome. Although I've maybe left it a little bit late this year, so may have to do it in January this year. But
I was going to say that. I just assumed you weren't doing one this year. I've
just not organised it yet, but we're going to try and do it in December. We may have a little bit of an issue, and it may have to get pushed into January this year, but we'll deal with that when it comes. I think that's basically it. Head on over to Patreon if you want to support us. All going well. We'll see you in about a week and a half, or a week and a bit, I guess. Yeah, it'll be a week on Monday. We'll be back for the next show. So, thank you very much for watching. Good night.